I was afraid yesterday this wouldn't happen because during the family reunion, there was a square dance going on, and my son Eric broke a G-string on his guitar. And then my son-in-law Bob broke a G-string on his guitar. And I thought, oh, there would be no music for today, but they worked everything out very well. I also thought a G-string was something the strippers wore, but I guess that's something else, I don't know. The what?
I hear tell. Phrases, I hear tell.
Oh, I hear tell.
I hear tell the G-string is a...
Okay. Thank you for filling me in. She's a librarian. What do they know, you know? I want to welcome you to the summer service. This is the second summer service of the year 2010. And we have several guests with us from across the United States and the world, and I really appreciate all of you being here. I like to read and write stories. A story is a series of connected events, true or fictitious, that is written or told with the intention of entertaining or informing. The Bible is a book filled with stories. Some possibly true, many fictitious, and throughout the world at this time, many of these stories are being told. I wish to tell you a couple of stories and share some ideas that I have. Yesterday was a family reunion of the Paris, Wagner, and Lowe families. Last year at this time, my wife Audrey, whose maiden name was Paris, our niece Elaine, she's sitting right here, and our daughter Laura decided to arrange a reunion of members of those three families who might be interested in attending. Over the past 30 years or so, several reunions were held with surprisingly good attendance. Now, some of you understand the logistical problems inherent in organizing such a gathering. You just can't pick up a landline phone and make a few calls, or send an invitation by the U.S. Postal Service. Nope, it's got to be email or Twitter or Facebook or cell phones, maybe a few blogs. These are the primary instruments of delivering the message that there would be a family reunion on June the 12th, 2010. The location and details provided. Curiously, those who lived the greatest distance were the first to give an affirmative reply. From Albany, West Australia, niece Lucia. From Braden, Florida, niece Kathy. From Wausau, Wisconsin, grandson Nick and his friend Ashley. From Denver, Colorado, son Eric and his wife Lori. From Ohio, nephew Evan and his friend Angela. Plus many family members from Missouri and Illinois. Although the gathering was to take place beginning at 11 a.m. yesterday, some family members came to our house, which was ground zero, on Friday. Our oldest daughter, Sarah, actually arrived on Wednesday with a notebook filled with things to do, menus for 5 days, shopping lists, musical ideas, and a host of other reminders, suggestions, and ideas to make this the best family reunion on record. Sarah came by bus and train from Champaign, Illinois, where she is employed by the University of Illinois as a piano harpsichord technician. She also happens to be so well organized that she wants everybody else to be well organized. And you know what that means. It's not easy, I tell you.
Amen.
Audrey, Sarah, and I went to Lampert Field to pick up our son, Eric, and daughter-in-law, Lori, who came in from Denver. When we saw them coming down the corridor in the airport, I thought to myself, wow, they are gorgeous. Of course, while we were waiting for the plane to arrive, I watched the departing passengers standing in line with their shoes and coats off, men holding on to their trousers since they had to remove their belts, tossing their possessions into plastic tubs. Some, especially men with business suits, had what seemed to be 8 or 10 of those tubs filled with everything but the kitchen sink. I guess they couldn't afford to take any luggage. After we returned from the airport, niece Elaine from Centralia, Missouri, along with her sister Lucia from Australia, their father Fred from Columbia, Missouri, and his friend Margaret from Jacksonville, Illinois, drove up. The reunion had begun a day early. Lucia, Lori, Audrey pored over pages of genealogy going back for centuries with first names like Quincy, Susanna, Lazarus, Mildred, Hiram, and Zebediah. Eric had time to create the family tree, and the girls added to the names. Now you must remember this. Other than grandson Nick, son Eric, and daughters Sarah and Laura, everyone else at that reunion were not my blood relatives. I'm sort of an outsider. Most are relatives of Audrey. My grandparents on my mother's side came to the U.S. from Lithuania, and on my father's side, his parents came from the Ukraine in Russia. All were Jewish. Both sets of my grandparents came to Ellis Island and entered the United States. So the family reunion I am talking about includes only 4 participants who are blood relatives to me. However, everyone seemed to be related to Audrey, and they included a wonderful mixture of all types of people. As far as I know, I am the only member of this reunion party to have been Jewish. There were Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholics, non-believers, and probably many other denominations. The genealogy of these families has been traced back for generations. Most were Scotch-Irish, with some German and French tossed in for spice. It is entirely possible that a bit of Cherokee crept in on the Paris side. And if the geneticists are correct, a few percent of the DNA of these families include Neanderthals. But who is bragging, you know? The blending of all these varied backgrounds, nationalities, and religions has made a fascinating family. Many were farmers, carpenters, artists, teachers. Certainly there were a large number of homemakers who held the families together. The military over many decades included Paris, Wagner, and Lowe men. Some served as far back as the Revolutionary War. There were those in the Civil War. Audrey's father was a glider pilot in World War I, and her brother Fred was a gunner in the Air Force during World War II. Fred also worked on the moon maps and charts, which were used in the first flight to the moon. Cousin Ruth was known throughout the region as an artist. Her paintings are proudly hung in many area homes and businesses. She was also a conservator, and many historic homes and buildings have been saved and preserved through her efforts. Ruth's sister, Erlene, and Audrey's sister, Mary Alice, were both artists and teachers. The father of Ruth and Erlene, Earl Wagner, was a well-known farmer in Fosterburg, Illinois. Earl was also an artist. Now, he claimed that a good artist could finish a painting at one sitting, and he did it every time. Audrey's father, Fred Paris, was a draftsman for Standard Oil. and he designed many of the cat crackers used at the Wood River Refinery where he worked. He also designed the original public swimming pool at Wood River. Yesterday's family reunion reminded me a great deal of Thornton Wilder's very moving play, Our Town. It is about a small town, life and death, the concerns, loves, and histories of the townsfolk. The recent death of Bob Yancey, who was Earlene's husband, and the father of their three children, Liz, Charlie, and Jonathan, emphasizes that we are all growing older. Earlene's only living sibling, her brother John Wagner, was unable to attend the reunion because of a recurrence of cancer. It is important to remember them. Family reunions are not just for fun, food, and frivolity. Now, Earlene's only daughter, Liz, was the only member of that part of the family to attend the reunion, and I'm glad she did. She was able to see, talk with, and embrace cousins she had never met, and to catch up with the lives and stories of those she knew. Well, it was a day of catching up, learning about the lives and events in those lives with relatives we may only see at such a gathering. There are a few who sort of hung around the edges, mostly the younger family members. And that was probably their first reunion. Small children ran and played in the park. Older ones stood or sat to one side of the pavilion, not really wanting to mingle. But even they found some interesting conversations with cousins they may have just met. Two of Audrey's sisters, Laura's, grandchildren were there, and they brought samples of their artwork, which was truly outstanding. The family art ability continues in a new generation. Some memories and conversations that I overheard as I meandered through the crowd of family members went something like this. Ruth's husband, Bill Means, always seemed to drive old cars or trucks, and he painted them with a roller. True, but he sure saved a lot of money that way. I remember when Dad beat out the fire on the roof of our home with his suit jacket. Did all of these low family members actually marry cousins? No, just some of them. Food seems to be an important ingredient to a family reunion. The gathering yesterday was potluck. At church here, we usually have a potluck luncheon once a month, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Webster says that a potluck is whatever the family meal happens to be, and whatever's available with little or no choice. Another definition is a meal to which everyone brings a dish or a salad or entree or a dessert to share. I recall several times going to a potluck with the Paris family that Audrey's mother or her sister Mary Alice would say, I think we need to make double that amount, and knowing the crowd we're going to have. That sentiment seemed to have been passed on to our daughters and their close cousins. We've got food we'll never eat. 2 days before the reunion, we got an email that Susie, our niece, and her family would not be able to attend at the gathering until 2 p.m., and I wondered why not. And it came to be that the second Saturday of the month is the day the Presbyterian Church down the street holds their Saturday lunch for those in need, just as ours does on the fourth Saturday. So Susie was serving, helping, and cleaning up. We were happy to be with her, growing family, who we so seldom get to see. Two who attended were in their 90s and had served in World War II. Both had been selected for honor flights to visit our nation's capital. One of them said that his group had been given the royal treatment with people in the airports applauding, waving flags as these honorees arrived. In thinking about reunions, I wonder who is the spark who gets things going. Reunions require planning, organization. Remember in the play, The Odd Couple? Felix is preparing dinner. Oscar asks, "Do you have any gravy?" "Gravy," Felix says, "gravy? You have to make gravy. It doesn't come." Reunions are like gravy. They take planning and organization, and someone who likes to do that sort of thing. Luckily, Audrey, Sarah, Laura, and our nieces, Elaine and Lucia, put a lot of thought and energy into the planning and organizing. We had about 35 relatives attending, even in the heat and the rain. Food was plentiful, conversations continuous. Lucia reviewed some of the family genealogy and had a good cry, and used the painting of the family tree, which Eric had done, and you see in front of the pulpit. Music was provided by Sarah and her accordion, Bob and Eric on guitar, Laura with her fiddle, and Lori on the washboard. Elaine and Sarah organized a square dance, which left us all laughing and clapping. One of the oddest bits of information concerning one of the members of the Lowe family was in the Alton Telegraph newspaper of March the 15th, 1922. It read, "With the backing of Chief of Police Lind and Mayor Crawford, police matron Clara Lowe announced that such dance steps such as the shimmy, the camel walk, the toddle, and the Chicago were to be banned from public dance floors in the city." Clara Lowe launched a program of enforcement against immodest dancing in the city's public dance halls. Good old Lowe's. Observers remarked that what was regarded as immodest for the present might well be seen as extremely conservative in years to come. A final vignette, which took place near the end of the reunion. We had some heavy thunderstorms while we were gathering beneath the shelter's roof. As they let up, I gathered several items in my arms to take to the car. It was parked at the end of the distant parking lot. About halfway there, I was approached by a tall man who asked if he could help me carry some of the items. I didn't know him. And I thanked him, and he took one of the containers, and we went to my car. I thanked him again, and he said, "That's quite all right." He was part of another family reunion in the adjacent pavilion, a group of African Americans who just were having a great time, and lots of little kids of all ages. And about an hour later, I saw the group beginning to head out to their cars. Dusk was approaching. A few minutes later, two preteen boys and an older girl came over from the other shelter and asked, "Does anybody have a jumper cable?" Our great nephew, Evan, he's back here, and I mean great, jumped up and said, "I have one." The three kids led him to where the disabled car was, and Eric and Evan got it started. A reunion of sorts takes place here every Sunday morning. Members, friends, folks who are curious meet at this church. It is a time of solace, reflection, learning, even hope and prayer. It is also time for being a part of the church family. Each Sunday can be a mini family reunion. With the growth of our membership and more visitors attending, we needed to have two services each Sunday. Since Audrey and I tried to bring flowers to church each Sunday, we would attend the first service. During the time between the first and second services, we were able to visit, talk, and share with others who also went to the early service, and then with some who came early on for the second service. However, there were many who were not able to socialize because they had to go to the sanctuary for the second service. After several weeks of missing friends and not getting to meet many new churchgoers, we did the unthinkable. We went to both services. Now, first and second services, you gotta know this, they're not the same. We got to hear the choir twice, which was great. We enjoyed Joy's piano playing. We heard the different joys and concerns, and best of all, we heard Kleber's message, and were able to focus on those sections we may not have entirely grasped the first time around. However, if everyone went to both services, there would still be the crowding problem. It doesn't help any. Being part of this church family and enjoying it is the reason we've been attending here for over 50 years. You are all important to us, and we like to see and talk and learn with you, and that's what families do. Just as we found in our family reunion that there are crises, illnesses, death, loss of jobs, graduations, marriages, births, the same is true with our church family. If we have fewer opportunities to get together, talk, learn more about one another, the family unity of the church suffers. I do not have an answer to this problem. I trust, though, that over this summer, we can find an answer. The reading from Helen Keller, I believe, fits in well with our diverse congregation. I like the last line of her writing, "Make the most of every sense. Glory in all the facets of pleasure and beauty which the world reveals to you through the several means of contact which nature provides." And this brings me finally to the reading about the Statue of Liberty. The United States is made up of people who have their ancestry in hundreds of far-off lands. Recently, there has been serious questioning of the movement of people into the state of Arizona. I would like to see a Statue of Liberty placed along the U.S.-Mexico border. I realize that many of you can list many reasons why this would be a bad idea: jobs, illiteracy, drugs, guns, etc., etc., etc. However, five additional states are having similar issues regarding immigration. If this trend continues, there could be a real backlash against immigration into the states. I worked for 30 years with Arnulfo Segoviano. Arnie was a teacher of Spanish in high school where I taught. For decades, he spent his summers going with migrant workers throughout the United States, teaching English to the Spanish-speaking workers and their families. He would tell me about how little the workers would have, how small their wages were, how difficult the work was, how important were their jobs to the life and future of their families. Many of the workers, Arnie said, would like to be American citizens, but just as many would rather be working and being in Mexico or other Central and South American countries where they were from. Arnie came from a large family whose parents were from Mexico. All of his siblings were college graduates, but his parents had little education. They just needed the opportunity which immigration to the United States afforded them, along with the hard work of Arnie's mom and dad. Arnie and his brothers and sisters, and now many nieces and nephews, are productive U.S. citizens. The first two purposes and principles listed on the back of your order of service state that we affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and we affirm and promote justice, equality, and compassion in human relations. I only wish that governments would adopt and follow such guidelines for living. Thank you for having me at the pulpit today. And now the final selection from the Wiseman Family Musicians.